Asian art has a strong following in Australia. We see it inside dedicated galleries like Sydney's White Rabbit and 4A Centre for Contemporary Art. It's also a big part of our national and state collections. But how are things the other way around? What kind of value does Australian art have across Asia? How seriously is it taken and who are the artists collected there? Catherine Kroll is the founding director of Cultural Partnerships Asia and is currently touring southern China with a group of Australian artists, so she'll be speaking with us from Beijing. Sarah Bond is the director of visual arts at AsiaLink. And artist Jason Wing has been shown and toured across Asia. He also joins us from Beijing at the moment. Catherine, Sarah, Jason, welcome to Weekend Arts.
Thanks, Melanie.
Let's start with you, Catherine. Catherine, are Asian collectors as interested in art as Australian collectors are in Asian art? Let's see if we've got... Oh, let me just see. Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello, Catherine. Sorry about that. I think that was a bit of a technical mishap on my part. Catherine, did you hear that question?
No, not at all.
Are Asian collectors as interested in Australian art as Australian collectors are in Asian art?
Well, from my experience, one of the things that we have been doing, the people who are working between Asia and Australia have been doing, is building the reputation of Australian art in Asia. So I think that it's a fairly long process. I think it's basically the Asian collectors are more interested in the investment than the intrinsic beauty of the art.
Sarah, you work with AsiaLink. Would you agree with what Catherine had to say there?
Yeah, look, I think it's a long process that Australia's probably been most actively engaged with over the past 20 years. I think the hunger perhaps from Australia's side at the moment is probably greater for collecting than it is on the other side.
So in terms of the collecting, Catherine, you mentioned that it's really the Asian collectors are doing it from an investment point of view. Who are the artists that they're collecting?
Well, from my experience, it actually depends where you're talking about. My experience is basically in China.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about China then.
On other places. But for example, if we look at the Hong Kong art scene, and before we can even talk about art fairs in China, we need to talk about the sorts of restrictions that are placed on our galleries in participating in art fairs. Mm-hmm. Because China has such a prohibitive customs arrangement, people have to pay about between 30 and 36% import duty on artwork coming into the country, whether it's for sale or not, even if it's intended to just be for a demonstration or display. So the Australian galleries tend to participate in the Hong Kong art fair because they don't have this tax burden.
Does that mean that emerging artists are left out of the Chinese market then?
Yes, very much so, in a lot of ways. Unless you have a very big, well-established gallery who can afford to cover these expenses, or you develop partnerships with galleries inside China. But we do have, if you look at the people who are regularly participating in the Hong Kong Art Fair, which has quite a few mainland Chinese, but largely I think the sales go to people who live in Hong Kong, expats, or people from other overseas countries. So I don't think it's a really large market that we're developing, but very, very slowly. People like Tim Olson and Ros Oxley and Tolano, who are going in every year to the Hong Kong Art Fair, are developing their own clientele over a period of time. You've got Sullivan and Strump, who have had sellout shows with Sam Leach and Alex Peter, and Alex certainly has shown for the last 3 years, and so he's developing a really good reputation. Very small galleries like Damien Minton, taking artists like Peter Gardner from Newcastle, or Jan Manton from Brisbane, had a great, fantastic sellout show sold out on the opening night of Danny Mellor's work. Well, so there are galleries and artists who are moving work. Merton Moulton's exhibition of Sophie Cape's work sold out during the Hong Kong Art Fair. But I think that the it's not necessarily to the mainland Chinese buyers, although we have had some very big successes. For example, last year in April, Warren Gary brought an exhibition of East Kimberley art to Shanghai, and the entire exhibition was bought by a Chinese, a very wealthy Chinese businessman. You know, this is part of his interest in developing an ongoing relationship with the Ord River area of Australia. Nevertheless, it means that there is an entire collection of that period of time from the East Kimberley now in Chinese hands.
So, Sarah, you actually work more extensively across Asia, outside of China as well. What is it like for Australian artists getting their work seen outside of China?
Outside of China? Mm. Look, outside of Australia, it's incredibly important. And I guess the role that we are focused on is, I guess, creating other opportunities outside of this commercial art fair that sort of can show a certain type of Australian art. And as you say, what we're interested in is providing the opportunity for mid-career artists, but also those emerging artists that perhaps may be left out of the, you know, the big name galleries and the big audience pool. So outside of China, I mean, as Catherine said, her experience is China. I mean, we deal with India, Pakistan, Indonesia. So, and each audience and community is different. So the opportunity for us, perhaps in an art fair situation like we did in India Art Fair a few years ago, was to show a series of video works by artists. It wasn't a selling show. It was just an opportunity to present contemporary Australian video work in a curated fashion.
Jason, you've actually had experience throughout Asia as an artist in residencies and also showing your work. What has your experience been in the way that your art has been received in Asia?
It's been received really well, and it's interesting the parallels between China and Australia in a traditional and a cultural sense is actually quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
And
in what way?
So just in terms of you know, sustainable development of the past, we have current issues such as the destruction of traditional culture due to rapid growth and urbanisation and consumerism, and you know, both cultures are fighting hard against these things. But I've noticed, you know, the artists are quite well. I mean, we're treated really well. We're respected really well. And it often seems like Australian artists are treated much better overseas than back home.
Really? And it's interesting as well. That's really interesting to me, because Catherine was saying earlier on that a lot of the buying of Australian art is for investment purposes, but you're sort of telling a different story there of being appreciated more. Do you feel that your work is appreciated more in Asia?
On some levels, yes, in terms of the honesty and also in terms of the conceptual value. There seems to be quite a gap. Whereas, yeah, the focus is largely on investment, on blue chip investment for artworks, whereas for the Making Change show that was in 2012 at NAMOC, the National Art Museum of China, a lot of the work was very conceptual and quite hard to purchase, which challenged the audience. And, you know, that's going to be quite an education process. But there are already a lot of collectors switched onto this, but it's our conversation, and you know, we are trying to help educate the wider Chinese audience about works of conceptual rigor. And
keep going, Jason. Sorry, I think we've just lost our line to Beijing there with Catherine, but we'll get her back up. Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I guess it's an education process. I think a lot of sort of Chinese collectors and audience kind of struggle a little bit with sort of conceptually critical work that's not easily saleable.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of our role.
Sarah, I'd love to talk with you as well about the development that you do with AsiaLink and the divide, I guess, between, you know, the big artists, say Ben Quilty's and Sean Gladwell's, compared to the new and emerging artists when you're having exhibitions in Asia of Australian artists. Is it a much easier sell with the more well-known artists, or is everybody kind of on a bit of an even playing field outside of Australia?
I think probably 5 years ago there was more of an even playing field, and I'd agree with Jason in the fact that from my experience, the response and recognition that Australian artists get when they do travel, either through a residency or with an exhibition, can be quite overwhelming. And I think because as an artist, you probably have to tell your story again. You know, the Ben Quilty and the Sean Gladwells and Dan Crooks, we are quite a known here.
Mm.
But depending on where you are going, those stories are new, and they're new artists. And so the interest is perhaps on the personal journey of the artist and their story and their development within Australia. I mean, we've toured an Akira Isagawa show with the National Gallery of Victoria, and he's known, well known. But there we went through Thailand, Singapore and various other places, and India. We went to Delhi and Mumbai, and it was the technique and the material and his story of coming to Australia as a student and learning these skills in Sydney, leaving Japan and coming to Australia, and then, you know, his work being shown in India. So it's sort of the story of the opportunity perhaps that an Australian artist can get, as opposed to some other artists through Asia that don't have access to government support or a different understanding of what an art school might be, which is also developing at the moment in China. So the stories are always important about the artists. So yes, there are artists in hot demand. I won't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess part of what we do is looking for other opportunities as well, but not not dismissing these artists, because it's also an opportunity for them to have an experience outside of Europe or America or UK, wherever they may be based, but to test their art at, you know, in Delhi or in Bangladesh or, mm-hmm. or something like that. So then opportunities for them might follow through art fairs, whereas the same thing may happen with an emerging artist who perhaps will be more ingrained on the ground and be doing a residency in association and testing their ideas on an international arena that they wouldn't have had perhaps the opportunity to do in Australia.
And I guess as well, by having this conversation about Asia, we're kind of doing Asia a bit of a disservice, because when you think about it, India, China, Thailand, etc., they're all vastly different countries, and I would imagine the
absolutely.
Way that they receive art is vastly different.
Yeah, and the way I think, in our case, when we're developing ideas for projects, we have a completely different approach to those places as well. We have to be mindful of what's going on, political or cultural and the interest levels. I mean, design exhibition we have at the moment, which is the first design exhibition at Ullens in Beijing. It's,
mm-hmm.
And it's an Australian design exhibition by Broach Commissions. And, you know, that was a real interest. The design is a focus in Singapore, perhaps in Beijing and Bangkok, whereas Pakistan may want a painting show, video show somewhere else. Indonesia, we might be working with artist-run initiatives. So we're sort of trying to be a broker in some sense of building those relationships so that artists and other organisations can further this discussion, you know, and maybe initially broached through us, but by no means for us to continue that. I mean, that's the opportunity that we thankfully have to introduce audiences to Australian art in Asia.
You're listening to Weekend Arts, and we're currently discussing Australian art in Asia with Sarah Bond, who you just heard from then, the Director of Visual Arts at AsiaLink, and Catherine Kroll, who's the Founding Director of Cultural Partnerships Asia, and artist Jason Wing. Now, Catherine and Jason, and I'll direct this question to you, Catherine, you're actually currently touring southern China with a group of Australian artists. Can you tell us a bit about this, what the purpose of the tour is and what kind of reception you're getting?
Yes, one of the things that we established the Cultural Partnerships Australia and Cultural Partnerships Asia for was to provide opportunities to develop these reciprocal relationships between China and Australia. I've been working in China for almost 10 years now, working mainly in the second and third tier cities, not in Beijing, Hong Kong or Shanghai.
And why? Can I just ask you quickly, why is that?
Because there are developing organisations and networks and clusters of really, really interesting people working in these cities. And, for example, many years ago I went to Wuhan, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and I said to someone, what is in Wuhan? And they said, there is nothing there. There's nothing in Wuhan. And I said, but there's 7 million people here. And they said, yes, but there's still nothing there. So, you know, the central governments can consider some of these cities that are 7 to 30 million people as places where not much is happening.
That's
and yet when you go to these places, for example, we've just been to Chongqing and Kunming. Both of these places I've been taking groups to since 2010. So in 2010 we took a group of Indigenous and emerging artists as part of a hard sleeper tour to a number of cities, including Chongqing, for example. And then some 6 months later, we took 10 new media artists from Australia to these places. And the purpose of those tours and the current tour is to start a conversation with the local people, to help them understand Australian culture, to put the art into context. Many, many years ago, when I first came to China, I walked into NAMOC, the National Art Museum of China, and there was a big exhibition of calligraphy. And because I had no history, no story, nothing to hook onto in terms of my reading of this calligraphy, I just wheeled around on my heel and basically walked out. I just didn't understand it. I knew it was the highest form of art in China, but I couldn't develop any appreciation for it because I had nothing to read the work with.
Mm-hmm.
And so our organisation, with the assistance of AsiaLink and in partnership with a number of other organisations, the Australia-China Council, the Australian International Cultural Council, DFAT in Beijing, and again the Consul General in Guangzhou, have all assisted us to both bring artists from China to Australia and introduce them to Australian artists and take them out into the bush and have them, you know, travel for 10 days from Perth to Roebourne and sleep in tents and get some, these little major curators to get some sense of where this art is coming from so that when they come back to China, they're able to read the artwork. They've got some context, some story, some experience. So this is the reciprocal relationship that we've been engaged in for a number of years. The current exhibition in Guangzhou has come about because we came to Guangzhou 2 years ago. I was supported by the Copyright Agency to come and meet curators, people who are doers, people who are active, people who see the opportunities for their own communities in Kunming and Chongqing and Guangzhou, and then invite those people back to Australia. So we invited a professor from the Guangzhou Academy of Fine Art called Fan Lin to Australia for 6 weeks. And she came to Sydney and she worked on an exhibition I was doing at Sydney Town Hall of Asian Australian art called Snake, Snake, Snake for Chinese New Year. And she met Jason, she met John Mundine, she met Vernon Arkey, and she was able to talk to these people. And then her interest was piqued and she invited us to bring an exhibition back to Guangzhou. So what Sarah's talking about and the work that we're doing is taking a step back from bringing big selling exhibitions and spending quite a lot of time and energy developing an audience and helping people understand the context and the story and where this Australian art is coming from.
Well, I guess then a good place for us to end this discussion will be with you, Jason, to ask after touring around Asia and, you know, spending most of your time practicing in Australia, what do you see as the future for your art within an Asian context?
It's something I definitely want to explore further, and the reception for my work is really great. So, I mean, I want to develop my work on an international level. At the moment, I have an Asian Aboriginal focus.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately I want my work to go international because I think I'm talking about international human rights issues, and I'm often talking about issues that aren't being discussed and should be discussed, and I think that these are universal challenges. But also for me, for my own practice, it's really amazing. I mean, my family are from Guangzhou, and I've never actually been here before, and so. And while I was in Kunming, I was doing research for Chinese minority groups, which again has taken my practice in a new direction. So I also think that in Australia we have such a, you know, we are a bit of a small town compared to the rest of the world. We're a small country town, and the wealth is not quite there in Australia, and also, the support, whilst the support for the arts is okay, it certainly can be improved. And there just seems to be a lot more support overseas, where it's actually ingrained in the culture and it's not seen as a luxury. It's seen as a necessary part of day-to-day life. And you can really notice it when you travel overseas.
Jason Wing, thank you so much for your time. Catherine Kroll, Sarah Bond, thank you so much for your time this afternoon as well.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was artist Jason Wing, who is currently in China on tour, and Catherine Kroll, founding director of Cultural Partnerships Asia, currently touring southern China with a group of artists, including Jason. Sarah Bond is the director of visual arts at Asia Link.